Welcome. Thank you for coming out tonight, you guys. My name is Jeremiah. This is my first time here, and I have ADD. Yep. I don't know when it started. I guess probably when, you know, at birth, I was like, you know, getting evicted out of the, you know, womb. And mom's like, time to go, little buddy. I was like, cool, I'm going to tuck my chin. I'm going to go head first, and whoa, look, something shiny. Whoa. Blah, 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 blah. Go back up there, grab it, come back down. Shit, turns out it's fucking ADD. And yeah, I got this little scroll, and it's like, hey, congratulations, buddy. You were fashionably late. Get used to that. You're going to be fashionably late your entire life. You're going to struggle with clocks. You're going to have a hard time focusing on just one thing, but you're great at focusing on a bunch of shit at the same time. And you're squirrel. Oh, you're easily distractible, and but you really like adrenaline, so hey, have fun. And I was like, cool. That last part sounds fun, but... You know, I don't know about the beginning of it. So, yada yada, I go through life, you know. I gravitate towards jobs where being fashionably late isn't exactly encouraged, but it's acceptable. So, you know, making a bunch of drinks really fast, bartending, that kind of shit. You know, carrying broken humans down a ski slope, you know, ski patrolling. Or maybe helping scared humans, like, overcome their fear by throwing them off a bridge. Or, you know, pretending to be or not to be somebody you're not, you know, things like that. And then my sister, who had become a nurse in her adult life, she was like, yeah, you know, you might be a good nurse because, you know, a lot of nurses have ADD, right? Especially in the fucking ER. And I was like, cool, that sounds fun, but how the hell am I going to get through school, dude? You fucking fuck school. And she's like, well, you're just going to have to learn how to focus. And I'm like, well, I've had a hard time focusing already, so she's like, I don't know, figure it out. And then I was like, oh, ding, yoga ball. So that's how I got through nursing school, was yoga ball. And basically what I mean there is that everybody thinks ADD and ADHD is the same thing. It's fucking not, right? So ADHD, that's where, like, your energy's all just, it's out there. But ADD, it's like you're thinking, like, a million things at once, but on the surface you're, like, calm and you look bored. And you're kind of like an old lawnmower, right? You get that lawnmower going, and it don't let that thing stop. Man, if it stops, it might not start again. So when you got ADD, it's all about don't sit. Once you're going, don't sit, right? And people say that people with ADD, you're kind of like a duck on water, right? On the surface, you're calm, and then under the surface, you're going crazy. Where somebody with ADHD, they're like a house cat in water, right? And they're thrashing, and you can see it. You can see that energy, right? But it's different with ADD. So anyhow, somebody was like, oh, have you ever thought about studying, like walking around holding your book? And I was like, well, shit, how am I going to fidget if I'm holding the fucking book? And then somebody else was like, oh, well, how about a yoga ball? Because if you sit on the yoga ball, then you got to, like, you know, constantly balance. And if you start to fall asleep and zone out, you're going to fall down. You're going to hit the ground, and boom, that's how I passed nursing school, yoga ball. So then I became a dumpster fireman right out of nursing school, immediate dumpster fireman. If you don't know what I mean, that's an ER nurse, right? It's a fancy way of saying ER nurse, dumpster fireman, because you're basically always working in a dumpster fire. Only thing that changes, shift to shift, how big is that fucking dumpster fire that day? How many of your coworkers actually showed up to jump in that dumpster with you, right? That's basically it. And I learned a lot of things, right? All you ER nurses who were like, holy shit, I'm scared of the ER. Oh, fuck it, man, go check it out. Like, you're going to learn stuff. You're going to learn all this stuff that you don't learn in the textbooks. But every once in a while, it's a good idea. Turn that stethoscope around on your own heart and be like, hey, how you doing, buddy? And your heart's like, man, I am black. I'm getting really black. And then you listen to your own soul, and your soul's like, man, we haven't sung in fucking years. And then you're like, okay, maybe we should go try something new, right? Because there's lots of ways you can be a nurse, right? Not just in the ER. But anyhow, in the ER, you learn a lot of things, right? You learn how to explain shit simply fast, okay? That's super key, right? And by that, think about it this way, right? Every mechanic in town can change your head gasket on your car, right? But not every mechanic can explain what he did, why he did, why it needed to be done, and what you could do to prevent it from happening again, right? So only the good mechanics, right? Similar in nursing, right? Nobody gives a fuck how you put the pill in the cup, right? Nobody's like, oh, look, he ripped that Tylenol just perfect, right? No. What matters is, how do you make people feel? Do you talk to them? Do you explain shit in ways that they can understand? Do you, you know, make a human connection? You know, validate their concerns and their fears? Or do you just walk in and repeat the same shit that the doctor said in super confusing terms like a fucking robot, right? Don't be a robot, right? If the more we act like robots, the more they're going to want to replace us. Newsflash, it's already happening. Don't act like a robot. Right? What you want to do is you want to come up with ways to explain stuff super simple and quickly, because that's what, you know, we're there for. Doctors don't have time, right? Everybody thinks like, oh, the doctors do that. It's like, no, they literally have 12 fucking patients where we have a third of that. So yes, we are supposed to actually do that. And so by simple terms, it's kind of this misconception in nursing where everybody's like, oh man, you know, like everything should be at a third grade level because everybody reads at a third, no, not everybody reads at a third grade level. You might have a fucking Nobel Prize winning scientist who's your patient, and 2 hours ago, the only thought in his mind was like, oh, is my pot roast gonna burn, and it's Christmas time, and he fell off his fucking roof, broke his neck, he was hanging Christmas lights, and now he's there, he's scattered, right? Your patients are scattered. Talk to them simply, right? And so by that, for instance, if you can't think of ways to explain the complicated shit, start with the simple shit. Tell somebody what PRN means. There's nothing that pisses me off more than like somebody's like, oh, nurse, man, I'm puking and I'm shitting and I'm in pain. And they come in, they're like, oh, would you like some PRN meds? And they're like, I don't know, is that going to stop the puking and everything? And then they're like, yep, it sure is. Tell somebody, literally, tell your next patient. They're like, do you know what PRN stands for? Fucking guarantee they don't. Just tell them, per required need, meaning as needed. You ask for it, we bring it. They're like, whoa. Now they trust you, right? Same thing with NPO. Nothing per oral. They're like, wow. But take the word procedure out of your freaking vocabulary. Why? Right? So I was in Gallup, New Mexico. I had this guy, he comes in. He's like, man, I got chest pain. And he's like, oh, and it feels like there's something heavy on. I'm like doing triage. I was like, yeah, this guy might be having a fucking heart attack. And the tech who was going to do an EKG, she was in nursing school, so she was trying to sound extra smart. And she's like, sir, I need you to sit very, very still while I do a procedure on your heart. And the dude fucking got up out of the chair. He's like, you're not touching my heart. And he tries to leave. He's like, whoa, dude, no. We're not doing a procedure. We're just going to take a quick little picture, all right? It's kind of like an X-ray, same, but different. Because your heart's going fast, but we want to see the rhythm, right? What's the rhythm of your heart right now? So if rhythm is like dancing, right? We want it to be something like nice and controlled, like a waltz, right? Bum, 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 right? That's one. That's nice and good. But what we don't want is we don't want like a rhythm like, you know, heavy metal, and then your heart is like doing a fucking mosh pit, right? And so, sure enough, this dude is having a STEMI, which is basically a heart attack, full-on mosh pit. And if anybody's ever been in the ER and you get somebody and you get a STEMI and all of a sudden everybody's like, woo, we got one, you know. The cardiologist comes sliding down fucking fireman pole. He's got fried chicken and he's like, yeah, let's do this thing, you know. And that's kind of how it goes down. But basically, I talked to the tech later. I was like, yo, don't ever use that word procedure. You're going to lose your patient. One of my favorite things to explain is lungs, right? I got a great one. This actually came from my mentor, still use it to this day. So you walk into your patient's room, right? You see a little incentive spirometer, right? If you don't know what it is, it might look like a hospital edition bong, but it's not. So essentially, if you see one of those sitting there, you're like, oh, hey, man, so it looks like respiratory was here, you know? They gave you this thing, they tell you what it means. They're like, oh, yeah, I know all about it. And, tell me what it is. They're like, oh, yeah, it measures my velociraptor squared thing, maximum. And I'm like, yep, absolutely, that's exactly what it does. But basically, let me elaborate on that a little bit. So essentially, think of this like resistance training or weightlifting for your lungs, right? It's gonna make your lungs really strong. You're gonna have long, strong lungs. Do you know why you wanna have strong lungs? And I'm like, well, so then I don't die? And I'm like, well, we're all gonna die. You're gonna die too, someday. But no, you wanna have strong lungs because it's gonna prevent pneumonia. Okay, and so I know that you think it's a jacket because we've been told since we were a young age, right? Put on a jacket and you don't catch pneumonia, right? Jacket has nothing to do with that, right? If it's cold outside, put on a jacket. Maybe you won't catch hypothermia. That's another discussion. But essentially, why do you want to have strong lungs, right? So here's how I want you to think of your lungs. Think of them like two fucking trash bags, big trash bags, right? You take a trash bag out of the box and you go, boof, and you fill it up really nice and taut, right? Real full lung, think of that like a big full lung, right? But if you have a half-ass trash bag and it looks kind of like a raisin and it's all wrinkly, right? So that's like a half full lung. So essentially, there's bacteria in the air all the time. There's tons of bacteria in here, woo! So we're breathing it in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Bacteria have a hard time landing on a smooth surface, so they have a hard time landing on the side of a nice stretched lung, right? But if your lung is all wrinkly like a raisin, bacteria are gonna land in those little wrinkles. And then they're gonna set up a tent and they're gonna make some bacteria babies, and all of a sudden you're gonna have a fucking bacteria infection. Bingo, that is what pneumonia is. It's just a bacteria infection in your lung. So, my friend, what you wanna do is a handful of times every day of your life, you wanna take some really big, deep breaths. You don't need to do it every single breath, but that will stretch, and if there is bacteria, poof, it's gonna slough them off, they're gonna fall to the bottom, cough it out, boom, prevents pneumonia, right? But yes, put on a jacket if it's cold outside. That's a good idea. But, pause. Yeah, dude, full on, foot on the gas pedal. Or one of the other mind-blowing things, and I swear this is just a conspiracy from our big pharma, and if there's any big pharma admins, you know, my name is Jeremiah, spelled just like in the Bible. You can come talk to me later. But essentially, all of you new nurses, and then some of you all, spacers, every asthmatic on this planet needs a spacer. That is a little cartridge that connects to your inhaler, right? So when you take a puff from an inhaler, it's only 33% effective because it just hits the top of your mouth and your tongue doesn't actually get into your lungs. But when you plug it into one of those things, boop, becomes 85% effective. I learned that first time and all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's interesting. My girlfriend at the time, she was asthmatic. I was like, hey, do you have a spacer? She's like, what the fuck's a spacer? I was like, oh my God, my mentor taught me this. I talked to all my friends I played indoor soccer with that next weekend that we were playing indoor soccer. I was like, do you have a spacer? Nobody has a spacer. Why are they so hard and difficult to get? Because they make the medicine go further and you have to buy it half the time. So all of you nurses, make it your goal to get spacers into the hands of people that use inhalers. Seriously. And I found out it's really not that hard. In the ER, you can just grab them out of the freaking supply room. But if you're on a floor, guess what? Every inhaler that's not powder, it says dispense with spacer. So just fucking put in the order. Doctors will be like, sweet, man, that's a great idea. Or another thing, if you really want to blow your patient's mind, you tell them about veins and arteries, and you just go like, oh, yeah, man, veins and arteries, they're just like pipes, plumbing in your house, except for instead of carrying water, they're carrying blood, right? Everybody thinks blood does all this fancy shit, you know, it does some things, but mainly it's just carrying oxygen, right? They're going two different directions. Just remember, arteries are going away, veins are coming back, and then people are like, oh, sweet, man, well, why do my veins and my legs not work very good? And I'm like, oh, there you go, that's a good question. Imagine your vein is like a big, tall straw, right? Vertical straw. It's got a bunch of little trap doors, and your muscles are squeezing and squirt up all the way, right? But your muscles have ADD, my friend, okay? If you give them just one fucking job to worry about, they're going to fall asleep. They're going to get complacent. They're not going to do their job. You got to do some more things. You got to walk around. You got to do some karate, whatever. But when your muscles have a bunch of things to do, they're going to work on bringing that blood flow back to the top. No problem, right? So it's not about what we know as nurses, about what we can explain, right? All about what we can explain. And so I've always thought that, you know, a really good makeup of a nurse would be like 40% doctor, 60% teacher, right? So luckily for me, my dad was a doctor for 40 years in northern New Mexico, and my mom was a teacher for 40 years in northern New Mexico, so... Turns out that I actually grabbed some shit other than just that ADD out of the womb. And thank you for that. And incidentally, they came up from New Mexico, and they're right here in the crowd tonight. And they're celebrating their 54th fucking wedding anniversary tomorrow. So a round of applause for that, because that shit does not happen every day. All right, I'm going to leave you guys one more story on... patient population that people kind of have a stigma about, and that would be your IV drug users or heroin junkies, right? Everybody like tries not to talk to these people in the hospital because they're thinking, oh man, I'm gonna catch the heroin or whatever. Like, man, talk to these people. Like, seriously, a lot of times they're way more polite than, you know, if I had like a shit-faced frat boy or a heroin junkie, I'd much prefer the heroin junkie because they're very polite. Because not always, but generally because they got this stigma around them, right? And in the ER, they represent a challenge and a place at the table. Because if you can get an IV on a heroin junkie, that's successful. And you get a place at the table. And I'll never forget the first time I did it, and I was like, you know, I literally wanted to come out, hold the blood, and like mic drop and drop the blood on the floor, but that would have been a bad idea. But I felt like fucking Tom Cruise in Top Gun. Bow, 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 bow. I was like, yeah, I fucking got it. And they're like, cool, man, all right. He's late sometimes, but fuck it, he's good at IVs. You know? So, but literally, these people, so they don't usually come into the hospital because they want to quit heroin, right? A lot of times they come in because they missed their vein, and then they injected their toxin into the, like the skin, and now they got like what we call a shooter's abscess, right? So a shooter's abscess is essentially like a pimple, sometimes the size of a golf ball. And when you drain those things, man, if you want to talk about the worst smell that you'll encounter in the hospital, that's one of them for sure. But essentially, they will come in, and I found out by talking to them one time, I was like, that's why you guys are always high when you come in the hospital. right? This girl comes in and she has an abscess and her buddy had an abscess and they decided we're gonna go get him drained tonight, right? And so he's in another room and I'm talking to her and I'm looking at her abscess. It's not even that big. And I was like, well, you know, I don't think we really need to drain it. You know, we'll wait for the doctor to decide. Maybe we just give you some antibiotics. I don't know. We'll leave it up to him, you know, just sit there. And she was like, okay, cool. Can I leave? And I was like, wait, what do you mean, can you leave? I just said the doctor's gonna come in. She's like, well, I thought you said, I was like, no, I was like, are you high? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? What am I? Are you high right now? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, okay, so did you just like shoot up in the fucking parking lot and then come in? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, why? She's like, well, a lot of times if we get an abscess drain, they don't give us any fucking pain meds. So, and I was like, ah, pre-medicate. Yes. Okay, you guys are actually onto something here. I get it now. I get it. But I had a girl come in one time. She had a shooter's abscess on her butt cheek. And I'm like, what's going on here? There's no veins there. And she's like, well, I was muscling it. And I was like, oh, you mean like an intramuscular injection? Cool. Okay, I got it. Well, I was like, well, what kind of needle were you using? You know, and the whole time in my head, I was like, Jeremiah, did you ever think that you were going to, like, be educating heroin junkies on how to properly inject them? And I was like, fuck, okay, I guess that's what I'm doing. That's, you know, that is, yep, that's exactly. And she's like, she used some slang term for the needle. And I was like, well, how long was it? And she's like, this. And I was like, dude, okay, hold on. Like, you need a longer needle or you need to push really hard so you actually hit the fucking muscle. Because otherwise you're going to be back here next week. It's going to keep going. She was like, poof. She's like, wow. Okay, makes sense, right? Sometimes junkies will have their friend inject them, and then their friend fucks up. And then you ask them, you're like, well, what happened there? I was like, was your friend high? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, maybe you guys make a plan at the start of the night. And you just have one guy, you know, and he's going to inject everybody, and he's not going to get high, and then not everybody, you know, gets screwed. And they're like, oh, that's a good idea. But hands down, the best one is I had a guy with a shooter's abscess on his taint. Right, and if you don't know what the taint is, it taint the balls and it taint the butthole. It's that space in between the balls and the butthole, right? And his girlfriend was the one that did it. And so she's sitting there and she's like, oops, you know, and I was like, yeah. And I asked the guy and I was like, dude, so you know that's the main vein, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, it's like called the main vein because it's pretty fucking important. And he's like, yeah. So anyhow, I'm sitting here talking to this guy, you know, and turns out this was in New Mexico. And turns out we went to the same high school. He was like 5 years younger than me, so we never crossed paths, but we knew some of the same people. And I'm sitting there starting an IV, and I'm thinking, Jesus, Jeremiah, you've done some dumb shit in your fucking life, but at least you don't have a shooter's abscess on your taint. Like, good job. And the doc, I talk to the doc, and the doc had just like gotten out of residency, and he was a brand new doc. And the doc and I become good friends because we like hung out and played chess and shit. And the doc literally talks to me and he's like, dude, bro, fuck, oh my God, I do not want to even try and touch that thing, dude. Fuck, I'm gonna like totally miss. I'm gonna cut the vein. His dick's gonna be fucked. And I was like, well, go tell him. I was like, tell him exactly like you just told me, dude. And he was like, okay, all right. And he goes in and basically he right away starts off. He's like, sir, the perineum and blah. And he just, and I was like, oh, dude, this guy's not gonna get it. Like, don't ever say, sir, by the way, with IV drug users, because you sound like a cop. Use a different word, right? So essentially, the dude gets up. He's like, no, fuck this. I'm not going to surgery, because basically he needed a surgeon to do this. And he's like, I'm not going to surgery, man. No, no, no. And he's like getting fixing to leave. And I was just like, stop, hold on, wait, fuck, stop. I was like, look, bro, what this doctor is trying to tell you is that he does not have a steady hand or a steady eye, and he's not really, you know, keen on trying to slice down there. And if he freaking misses by like 1 millimeter, your fucking dick's not gonna work, okay? Plain and simple. And honestly, I don't give a shit what you do, man. It's not my dick, right? I'm not gonna lose any sleep over this. I'm gonna go home, be fine. So, but you know, you might wanna actually go do the surgery, because it's your dick, dude, right? And his girlfriend is sitting there like, do the surgery, you know? And I'm like thinking, I'm like, and I was like, and furthermore, if you want to leave right now, if you think that's a good idea, dude, also, I don't give a shit, I'll hold the fucking door for you. Like, but you, in 4 days, probably that's going to swell up so big, it's going to cut off the circulation, then your dick's not going to work. So up to you, though, man, up to you. And the dude just like took that all in. He's like, bro, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So then he stuck around, did the surgery. I didn't exactly keep tabs on the guy. I have no idea if his dick still works, but all I do know is that in that moment, that human needed another human to talk to him and tell him like it is, right? He didn't need a fucking robot. He did not need a robot. He did not need somebody to give a rehearsed answer, you know, use some colorful language, whatever. And, you know, if I'd acted like a robot, maybe there's a dickless junkie walking around. But since I didn't, who knows? Maybe that was, I mean, that's a pretty good scare, right? You're about to lose your dick. Maybe that was the time that the dude was finally like, you know what? I'm going to stop doing heroin, turn my life around. You know, who knows? But if you remember anything about my talk, please do not be a robot, guys. Otherwise, they're going to replace us and get fucking spacers in the hands of people that have asthma. Thank you.